in your Bibles or on your Bible app to Galatians chapter 6. We're going to read from verse 1 to 10. And while you're flipping there or opening up the app, let me quickly remind you of the context of Galatians chapter 5 and 6. Paul has just encouraged the church in Galatia to live a life led by the Spirit of God. And then he gave them 9 virtues that they should, that all Christians should live by. Do you know them off by heart? We call them the fruits of the Spirit. 9 of them. Love. Kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. There we go. I think you got most of them, hey? Yeah. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Hey? And then he continues from verse 24 and 25 of Galatians 5, and he says this: those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. And since we live by the Spirit, let's keep in step with the Spirit. And then he starts chapter 6 by giving us a practical example of how that would look like every day. So we're going to pick up from verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If anyone thinks they are something when they are not, they deceive themselves. Each one should test their own actions. Then they take pride in themselves alone, without comparing themselves to someone else. For each one should carry their own load. Nevertheless, the one who receives instruction in the word should share all the good things with their instructor. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to their flesh, from their flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially those who belong to the family of believers. Keep your Bibles open and that app open. We're going to refer back to the text quite often today. But friends, I must say, when I studied through this text again, and I got to verse 2, where it says we should carry each other's burdens, my first response was, come on. You've got to be kidding me. Don't you see what kind of load we're already carrying on our own? And now we're challenged to carry somebody else's load? And I think I might not be alone. I think that for many of us sitting here today, we might think, man alive, I've got so much on my plate already. For the students in the room, you are running from one class to the next, you know, submitting one assignment after the next, and life is just hectic. Or you're a young adult and you've just got that first job. You're really trying to impress that boss. You're working extra hours. You're putting in the extra effort. And like we heard last week, you're in that stage of your life where you're trying to figure out where you're going and who you're going with. So you're trying to maintain some sort of social life at the same time. But then some of us are married, we found that person, and we've kind of found the career that we think God has called us to fulfill, and we're going at it, and we've moved into the same place, and now we're trying to figure out who's paying the bills and the medical aid and retirement, and who's doing the washing. Is he doing the ironing? Is he doing the ironing? No, we'll just carry on figuring these things out, you know? And the guy's like, I'm going to kill you afterwards. I should have done the ironing all those years ago. Yeah, yeah. But anyway, happy marriage. Do the ironing, guys. Okay. Yeah, that's fine. Then you become young parents. Yeah, I'm dead. You become young parents, and the baby throws out the bathwater. Hey, don't you agree? Your entire life just changes. You think life was cool, you know? And then the baby arrives, and your sleeping patterns are non-existent. And for those who have gone before us, those who've been around the block a few times, they tell us life doesn't slow down. it just gets faster and faster and faster. More stuff gets added to your cart, and you just sometimes feel like you are fully loaded and running at full tilt all the time, to the extent where you're completely exhausted. You've grown weary of just carrying your own load, of just getting the kids to school and back, of just feeding the household. And if that's you today, it is our prayer that by the end of today, that you won't just find another gear, but that you would leave here encouraged, that somebody else in this room might have spotted that you are heavily loaded and reached out to you and said, hey, how about I drop your kids off at school this week? You sleep in, hey? Moms and dads, that would be fantastic. Hey? Be fantastic. And I must say that I just need to place emphasis here on the difference between verse 2 and verse 5 of our main text this morning. In verse 5, the load refers to our everyday things, like doing the washing, the cooking, the cleaning, going to school and back. That's our everyday load. And most of us would do those kind of things without any sense of difficulty. However, verse 2, the word burden in Greek is baros. Now, if you walk around, you know, church, and I'm like, guys, I am really experiencing baros today, then we'll all know that you are heavily laden. You are seriously tired. You are heavily burdened, and you might need a helping hand. And maybe when that first child arrives, and you phone somebody and like, hey, Mark, baros, bro. And he's like, oh, yeah, heavily burdened. Okay, I'll just give Jan a cup of coffee, and Jan should be okay for the next week. No, not at all. That's what baros means in verse 5. Heavily laden. You are extremely tired. Now, most of us in this room have experienced some level of burden in our lives before. Or you've gone through a burdensome time where you just wondered, how on earth am I going to carry on like this? And I must commend us as a church, in most cases, if not all cases, when we hear of somebody going through a really hard time, we as a church, we pick up our guns and we go and help. Whether it's with a newborn baby and the new parents get meals for the entire week and that was fantastic, or if someone is ill. I hear of people driving people to the hospital and back and to the doctor and back, getting their medicine for them, really taking care of them. Well done, good and faithful servants. We have taken verse 2 literally and done it well. We've helped each other carry our burdens. We've helped each other serve. We've helped each other not grow weary. You see, we do live in times where becoming weary from just your load is quite easy, eh? We get so overwhelmed by the demands of this world that we actually do need the church. We do need each other to go, hey, can I do that for you this week? Can I take your children to school this week and pick them up for you? And you can just rest this week. You can catch that second breath. Friends, if we don't do that, we become weary very easily. And we experience wearied people in church. Hey, sitting here, and you can just see it. Like you can see when somebody is just burdened and bogged down by the load that they carry. They kind of stroll into church and it's like, hey, how you doing? Or they don't even say, hey, how you doing? They just go sit down. Hey, and it's just, you can just see it a mile away. We don't have to like take before and after photos and have little crypt notes on our phones going, okay, he's smiling today. Okay, skip. No. It's quite easy to read when someone is just taking strain. And friends, if you and I can just follow the instructions of verse 2, when we see somebody taking strain, let us go out and do something about it. Because if we don't, we'll all grow weary. And weary of what, you might ask? Weary of doing the good that we are called to do in this world. The good that we've just discussed in Galatians chapter 5. Where you and I can all experience love, peace, patience, kindness. We can all experience faithfulness and even self-control. And we all know that when we're weary, when we're tired, we drop those balls, eh? It's a lot more difficult to be patient when you're tired than when you're all freshed up and ready to go, hey? And the same with self-control and patience and peace. You know, when that driver cuts in front of you in traffic, to be loving and joyful. You know, and you've hardly had any sleep the previous night. You know, then it's not a loving and joyful wave. It's more a, I'll sort you out wave, you know. We can grow weary of these things very quickly. And that's where the church needs to help. That's where we need to help each other. When you get that phone call early in the morning going, I am so tired, I can't do this anymore. Get in bed, I'm coming. Or just wait and come, open the gates, you know, unlock everything, come in and just come and sit. Hey, that would be fantastic. Any of us around here, just imagine that kind of life. Where the church, and we have done that. But we can continue doing that, eh? And help each other grow through the weary stuff. And that seems great when people help you and the church cares for one another and it's all good. But I think the most important question we need to ask ourselves this morning is, how can I prevent myself from becoming weary? Because in order to help somebody else, as I said earlier, you've got to be refreshed yourself. You know, two weary cups ain't going to carry much. Hey? Like, it's just not going to help. Like, it's going to be one weary person moaning at the other weary person that we're all weary and it's all just going to wear us down. You know? Where if the refreshed person walks into the room like, hey, come on, we can do this. And you're like, yeah, sure, just carry on. You know, I'm just going to watch you for a moment because I just need to catch my breath. I just need to sleep a little, you know? I just need to surface above the water again. If we can do that as a church, it's fantastic. But how do we prevent ourselves from becoming weary? Verse 8, I think, gives us the answer here. I'm going to read it again for us. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. I think that sowing means working, means doing something. You know, it's quite difficult to sow without actually doing it. And so, what is the sowing? But maybe more importantly, what are you sowing for? Are you sowing for the flesh, or are you sowing for the Spirit? And Matthew 6 gives us a very direct challenge in this regard. From verse 19 to 21, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and rust do not destroy, where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your heart is, there your treasure is also. In other words, if we live our lives with our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, on heaven, on eternal life, if we do all that we can to invest in heaven's bank instead of the worldly bank, it changes our perspective. Our loads change. The size of our everyday loads start to change when we start doing everything for heaven's sake instead of our earthly good. Like, what does that look like? Hey? What does that look like? Well, you and I, when we focus everything on heaven, we'll slowly realize, is that us? Is that me beeping? Is that outside? Okay, hope it's outside. No, it's here. That is strange. Here we go. That should be better. Okay? If we do everything with our eyes focused on heaven, our everyday loads become less. Surely it can't. Debs, just turn everything else off. Like, take those three buttons, turn them back on, and turn everything else off. Because it's something. It's not here. It's definitely outside. That's so strange. That recording is going to be very strange. Okay, so if we do everything we possibly can, focused on heaven, our earthly loads will change. Our directions will change. Let me explain that in tangible words. We slowly realize that the cars we drive, the homes we live in, the schools we go to, the places we work, all these things have little to no eternal value when our main focus is heaven. Hey? And I'm not dissing good cars and safe homes and great schools and all that kind of stuff. But if those things are our primary focus, we will soon find ourselves being worn down by them. Because the moment you have that car, the world says, hey, get a bigger one. Get a faster one. The moment you live in that house, they're like, hey, man, how about a sea view? Or the moment you send your kids to that school, they're like, hey, but this coaching at that school's better. Hey? We find that quite a lot. Or you wear a certain style of jean and people tell you, hey, but those jeans are better. And those messages just keep bombarding us every single day. And if we don't look very carefully at what we do and how we do things and point everything we do to heaven, we will become worn down by catching up or just competing with the Joneses. Hey? We slowly but surely lose sight of the good that God has called us to do when we always focus on the Joneses. We have lost sight of our eternal prize in heaven. And if that is you this morning, if you have worked and worked and worked only to get bigger cars, a better house, a more comfortable retirement, so that you can look back and say it was successful, may you hear this challenge of God today. The challenge to change your life from a path of success to a path of significance, like we heard last week. And from this day, do all that you can to grow your bank balance in heaven instead of earth. So that verse 9, at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you don't give up. Now, what kind of harvest did the Apostle Paul have in mind when he wrote this? Yes, those who live their lives focused on heaven will reap the harvest as discussed in the letter so far. What is that? You will live a life filled with the fruits of the Holy Spirit. You will experience love, joy, peace, patience, and all the other stuff, and self-control more often if you live a life focused on heaven instead of earth. If you live a life focused on the Spirit of God instead of the spirit of the flesh. Hey? We will also harvest a time where the church encourages us and comes alongside of us more often because we get what we're here for. We're here to help each other get into heaven instead of the next banking status on earth or the next home. Hey? You'll also become very well-instructed believers if you focus your life on heaven, because you will realize that all of God's Scripture is God-breathed. It is useful for teaching, convicting, correcting, and training you in righteousness. When you live your life focused on heaven, you also see sinners restored to saints as you do all that you can to fulfill the Great Commission. And these things are all great, but I think there's a bigger harvest at stake here, more than just us enjoying life on earth. And it's the harvesting of souls. Jesus taught this in Matthew, where he says, the harvest is large, but the workers are few. So pray to the owner of the harvest to send out more workers to bring in the harvest. Oh Lord, we need more workers to bring in your harvest. And so if you're sitting here today, friends, the harvest won't reap itself. It won't reap itself. And we are praying this prayer pretty much every week. Lord, we need more workers. And we hear this so often. I've been there. I've done that. Now it's somebody else's turn to sow the seeds. It's somebody else's turn to build relationships with the unchurched. It's someone else's turn to farm, to get everything ready in terms of ministry. It's somebody else's turn to maintain the family of believers. It's somebody else's turn to bring in new people to come and know the Lord. I loved Trevor's message last week because he spoke directly to this when he spoke about retirement. Do you remember what he said? Hey? You're not, if you're not dead, you're not done. Hey? And then he spoke about, you know, his poor wife. He spoke about going into the deepest, darkest, dangerous place on earth to go and preach the gospel. And like, I just sat there and I'm like, his poor wife. Hey? Because there he goes. And Trevor will do that kind of thing. Hey, Nige, he'll get in his car and say, cheers, honey. Hopefully see you next week. Going to Syria. Hey? If you're not dead, you're not done. And we're not calling you to go to Syria. We're calling you to come to Durban North Baptist Church and join God's workforce. Because if you're not dead, you're not done. And there are so many things that we can do here. Right now during the service, I thought Graham and Ruthie were bunking church. No, they were praying for us while we were worshiping the Lord this morning. We need more people to pray like them. We need people to greet people at the door. When visitors come, go, hey, bro, how you doing? You know, here's a cup of coffee, and it's really good coffee too. You know, we need people to help tune in with the little monsters. You know, and I'm allowed to call that because I've got one now. 3 o'clock this morning, he's like, ah! I'm like, oh! You know, and once he's awake, I'm awake. And then then I have coffee from 3 o'clock in the morning. We need more people. And if you're not dead, you're not done. It doesn't matter how old or young you are. You can help them. You can help them. Whether it's an active involvement right now, helping them do their craft, or it's an inactive involvement in terms of holiday care, where you come and, where's Belinda? Belinda, you here? Where you come and help Belinda and her team and just cook meals for the little monsters, you know? And then they've got tons of energy and they run past my office and go, ah! And I'm like, I need focus, you know? We need more workers. And you're like, Jan, you can, because you're not dead. You can, because you're not dead. It doesn't matter how old or young you are, we can make a difference in this world. We can bring in that harvest God is talking about. Last year, we had 30,000 people go through ATAP's doors. 30,000. All we needed was 5 volunteers. 5 people to go and build relationships with the moms there that don't know Jesus. Just build relationships by, hey, how's your coffee? How's your tea? How's your lighty? Oh, let's catch the lighty. He's going to jump out the tree, you know? And just, they do. They give us heart failure, you know. They go ballistic in there. But just imagine if you put up your hand and say, hey, I can just come and spend 10 minutes every day at the coffee corner, at ATAP, and reach out to that massive harvest God has planted right on our doorstep. And you build a relationship to the extent where it is worth every moment, and that person eventually comes to know the Lord because of you. Because you have become faithful in doing good and being part of God's workforce down there. And you're like, yeah, like ATAP's a bit busy for me. Okay? Speak to Mary and Clive Druce about getting involved with the library. And how about we open that library every single day, Monday to Sunday? So the people who come to ATAP can actually go and get good books instead of the junk they buy in the shops. Hey? Wouldn't that be great, Mary and Clive? Thumbs up? I'm getting a nod, okay? Like, Jan, if all the whole church come and speak to me afterwards, I'm going to kill you. Just imagine the amount of people that can experience God's love like you and I have if we are just willing to say, yes, Lord, here am I, use me. God says, I will use the rocks if you don't do it, and we have rocks in the coffee corner garden, but for crying in a bucket, let us do it. Because he wants to work in and through us. That's why he created us. He's called us to be part of his team. And so that's the big question for you today. What will you change in your life in order to become part of God's harvesting team? What are you going to do? Pop us an email or a message this week and say, Jan, I don't know what I'm going to do, but hey, I'm here. Be careful because you might clean the roof. You know, so rather say, I'm here and I would like to do this in this broad area of ministry. But come on, let's do this together. Like the flower ladies yesterday. Man, ladies, don't you feel loved this morning? Hey? Yes, come on. Hey, well done. Now just imagine, flower ladies, I'm putting you on the spot here. Just imagine if we created 2,000 of those. Hey? And it wasn't just the 6 of you or 5 of you here yesterday. It was the whole church moving all the chairs out the way, making those flower arrangements so that you and I would leave here today, go into the shops and go and give a flower to a mother who probably never ever have received that from a stranger. And just go, hey, Divinal Baptist Church loves you that much. Boom, flower. Hey? And I'll go, boom, flower. You'll probably go, yeah, it's, hey? Come on. The message that we will broadcast out to this world would be phenomenal. But these flower ladies are going to grow weary if they do it on their own. The children's ministry team will grow weary if they do it on their own. The worship team will grow weary and snap a lot of more strings on their own. Come on. Let's join God's team. Let's bring in His harvest so that we are depositing money into heaven's bank. And when you rock up in heaven one day, somebody goes, hey, do you remember that day at Kensington Square? You brought me a flower on Mother's Day and I gave my heart to Jesus because of that. Boom, heaven's bank is full with thousands of people who've come to know Jesus because you have been faithful in doing the good that God's called you to do. Let's do it together. Let's help each other, encourage each other, and may this church become known as the harvesters of souls until our very last breath. If you're not dead, you're not done. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, there are people sitting in this room right now that are weary, that are heavily burdened, and we just ask that you would lay it on our hearts, those who are refreshed and keen to give this life a go. Remind us of the people in this room right now that just need a helping hand, that just need to catch their breath again. Remind us to be the encouragement that you have called us to be to them. And then even more so, Lord, help us to keep our eyes focused on you, that in all that we say or do, we are giving glory to you, God. We are depositing into heaven's bank. We are more focused on getting more souls into heaven than owning more cars or homes. Help us, Lord, today to change our focus, if we need to, from the flesh to the spirit. And do everything we can until our very last breath to fulfill that call, to do good and be part of your harvesting team. And that is our prayer today as we leave here. May we get to the end of our lives and say this prayer with Paul. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is a store for me of crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who long for His appearing. God, help us this week to go and be your light. Go and be your salt. Go and show this world who you are. And become part of that team of workers bringing in the harvest. The 30,000 people that you have called, help us to be your hands and feet. In Jesus' name, amen.